Edge taken. Beautifully bowled. That little angle going across the left-hander. And Abbas is on fire. He's picked up three so far.
Edge and taken. That's great bowling. That really is top quality stuff.
Is that an edge? It is. Beautifully bowled from Yasser Shah. Well deserved. He's beaten the bat.
Behind. Catch. Chance, and that's gone. Yes, good bowling from Bilal. He picks up the big wicket of Aaron Finch. Yeah, that's close, is it? Big shout again, and given from S. Ravi. Well, will Tim Payne review? He's going to go down and have a chat.
Pitching outside off. Impact in line, wickets, umpire's call. You can save your decision, Ravi. You're on camera now.
Yeah, we're all out for 145 in the first innings in reply to Pakistan's 282 in their first dig. We're currently in a lot of trouble, and we lost our way in that first session, TK. We started the morning at 2 for 20. We lost 5 for 71. At lunch, we were 7 for 91. So our middle order is certainly struggling over there in the UAE. And to talk a little bit more about that game is Chris Barrett from the Sydney Morning Herald. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, guys.
What do you make of our top six, mate?
Well, Loz, I mean, look, it's been an ongoing issue, I suppose. This is, I think, since the first test against South Africa in Durban way back in February, Australia hasn't made more than 255 in a first innings. So this is the fifth test match in a row. So obviously exacerbating the problem is losing your two best batsmen plus a third guy who could bat a bit as well in Cameron Bancroft. But look, you know, this was a different challenge too, wasn't it? There was grass on the pitch over there. And, you know, the seamers and the spinners are getting a bit of purchase, I guess. What I mean to say is that it's territory that's not completely foreign to the Australian batsmen, or it shouldn't be, given, you know. This wasn't the sort of challenge that you would usually expect in the subcontinent or the UAE, at least. So, you know, there was some good bowling, but again, I think, you know, some poor shot selection, and obviously one particular brain explosion at the non-strikers end from Labuschagne. I knew Darren Lemon pretty well when he was running the show there. I know how he would have thought about that, and I can only think what Justin Langer would have responded like after he saw that go down.
Yeah. Couldn't find a shot of Justin Langer, but saw the shot of Dave Saker and his look of disbelief. Labuschagne looked to be very, very casual at the non-striker's end. Shah just got a fingertip to the ball and it went onto the stumps at the non-striker's end, and Labuschagne was given out. And, mate, there was only a little tiny appeal from the bowlers, from Shah as well, just to, hey, ump, do you mind checking that for me? And I think everyone was in disbelief, including Labuschagne.
Yeah, look, it's unlucky, isn't it? But it's just they just had a slight roll on, and it, you know, that's such a gift to give to the opposition. And look, I'm not sure it'll be necessarily held against him, in the long term or anything. But they really gave up any chance of momentum at that point, and look, probably pretty lucky to get to the score they did in the end. Mitchell Stark's quite handy with some lower order runs at times. Look, I know they saved the first test match after I came on last week. I could not see that coming, but and I will struggle to see a save coming in this one too. I mean, it's 3 days to go, so it's a long way out for this Australian side in this one. Their first session is certainly going to have to be a lot better.
Yeah, a lot of feedback we're getting on the open line and also with text messages, Chris, is the Marsh boys. Where do you sit with those guys, and should they be in the team?
Well, Mitchell Marsh is one of the vice captains now, so I mean he's gonna be difficult to move, I would have thought. Although I thought it was really interesting that they picked two vice captains in a sort of AFL style, you know, leadership group set up, which leads me to believe that, you know, if one of them doesn't make it on form, it's, you know, the other one is sort of the sole vice captain. Although I think it's a movable feast, that one. I think Mitchell's probably in a safer position long term. I mean, he should be batting a six, not up the order like he was in the first Test match. Sean's, you know, mid-30s, Had a good summer last summer, but hasn't done much since. I would have thought that he would have some serious question marks about his place in the side. The issue that Australia's got is that, without Warner and Smith, there's obviously that dearth of experience in the top six. So I'm sure, you know, having someone like Sean Marsh there was seen as advantageous. He's also, you know, got a close relationship with the coach, Justin Langer, through Western Australia. But look, I think maybe they may have to think, you know, by the summer whether it's time to for a change up in that spot. Sean would be the one under pressure. There's certainly a new generation of players coming through, isn't there? I mean, there's not that mountain of runs in Shield level, but it was pretty exciting to see young Petroski from Victoria make a double 100 in the Shield yesterday, and I'm not quite sure they're ready to push the button with him yet. But, he's going to need some runs, Sean Marsh, probably in the lead-up to the first test. There's four Shield matches this summer, so it's a genuine audition, I guess, for other guys as well as the guys on the side.
Yeah. I mean, Mitch Marsh, I mean, he averages 26 with the bat and 43 with the ball. I mean, it's hardly automatic selection stuff even for an all-rounder.
Well, if they want an all-rounder, it probably is. He batted all right. I thought no one batted all right in South Africa. I think he got Australia's highest score over there. In Durban. I think he's bowling.
I think he's a bowling all-rounder, Chris. Yet they don't bowl him much.
No, that is an issue. I mean, look, I think his bowling is certainly a thing that's come on in the last couple of years. Maybe those figures don't quite reflect exactly the value that he brings. I mean, he does reverse swing, you know, the ball in the right conditions, and he does has tied up an end for Australia before. But look, I mean, he's always had question marks about his spot on the side because those numbers just aren't that compelling. Mm. But I mean, he has got age on his side as well. And of course they've endorsed him really by putting the VC next to his name.
Where's Glenn Maxwell fit in the picture, Chris? I mean, look, you guys know cricket better than I, but he's a guy that I like watching bat. He frustrates me at times, but I see him as someone that, if given the opportunity and they said to him, mate, you're not here just for one or two tests, we're going to give you five or six. It's someone that could thrive.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we seem to talk about this a lot because the scenario for Glenn Maxwell never seems to change. I mean, the issue with Maxwell non-selection is the apparent inconsistency of the reasons. Lately, he's been, he was asked, advised not to go to county cricket. You didn't need to play in the Australia A Tour or India A because we know what you can do in the subcontinent. But then you don't get picked in the test squad. So there's a head-scratching sort of thing going on there. I mean, I think, to be honest, the way Glenn Maxwell's been handled, if he doesn't get an opportunity in the next year or so, I think he'll give test cricket away. He might just go and play the T20 circuit. I don't think he's already sort of floated that as an idea. And I think he'll just say, well, I don't need to be playing Shield cricket anymore.
I'll be a hired gun around the world,
I suppose that's something that we have to be careful of moving forward, because it might be the situation that a lot of these players decide to do. Yeah. Walk away
from
the baggy green.
And look, he's never said this to me, but that will be an alternative for Dave Warner for sure if they, for instance, decide to brush him from the test side. I can't imagine he, if he gets that sort of treatment, will hang around in Shield cricket. He'll go around the world and plenty of dough playing the T20 circuit. By the way, I don't think that the coach will brush him on there. I think
the
top six. No, well, that's right, Laurie. I mean, I think everything he is playing into his hands, isn't it? I mean, Steve Smith's a given, but Dave Warner's a more complicated question. But I think, you know, the more troubles that they have, the more simple it'll be for him to slot back in there.
One thing about this Petroski is his second Shield century, but when he does make 100, they're big hundreds. He normally kicks on with it as well. So he is one of those blokes who is a player to watch as we build up to summer. And just quickly, mate, Lloyd Pope, we were naming our best red-headed Australian test lineup yesterday. This bloke's straight into that now. He's a leg spinner, but that was a wrong-un that turned, a couple of feet anyway. No, a foot. Okay. A foot
we've only got eight in that side, by the way, Chris. That's all we could come up with, eight.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Lloyd Parker, there's been chat around him for a while. I remember being in a test match in Adelaide maybe 3 or 4 years ago, potentially. And he was bowling out in the middle during one of the breaks in play, and Shane Warne was having a look at him. And so that sort of got that chat going that, you know, that Warne was mentoring him. I think he's looked after him a bit in the past. He is one of those same generation of guys for this Australian under-19 side last year, of which there's so much expectation around. The Petrovsky, Lloyd Pope from New South Wales, there's Jack Edwards, there's Jason Sanger.
Yeah.
I don't want to call them a golden generation because they've done nothing yet. But, I mean, there is a little bit of anticipation about what this group of guys could do. There's Austin Waugh in there and sort of just below them as well, Steve Waugh's son. So
Will Sutherland, he's not far.
Will Sutherland certainly in the one-day stuff. Yep. You know, he's done a lot for Victoria. So, you know, we've been talking about how there seems to be a dearth of big run scorers just behind the test side and that, but there might be... There might be some hope coming through, I reckon, from this next generation if what they've achieved at junior level is reflected at all when they're in the top ranks.
As you do in the Herald, mate, and we do on this program, we talk a lot about that potential, don't we? But we do thank you so much, mate, Chris, for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.